All right, if you'll open your Bibles now to 1 John chapter 5, we'll take up where we left off Sunday evening. In verse 13, John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." What are these things? Well, back in verse 10 of this same chapter, he said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." And this is the record that God hath given us. God hath given to us eternal life. And this life, this spiritual life, this eternal life, this life which Adam lost in the garden, is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath eternal life. He that believes on Christ, he that loves Christ, he in whom Christ dwells, he has life. And he that hath not the Son of God, whatever he may have, he doesn't have life. Now these things in verse 13 he wrote to encourage men to believe on Christ. That's true. Turn to John 20, verse 31. "These things are written to encourage sinners to receive Christ, to believe Christ, to come to Christ." As old Brother Barnard used to say, to close with Christ. Well, he said in John 20, verse 31, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ." Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He's the promised prophet, priest, and king, the Messiah. He is the Christ. And he is the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name, justified by faith. But now that's not what he's saying here in our text, that you might believe on Christ, that you might receive Christ, that you might close with Christ. That's true. But that's not what he's saying. He's writing to believers who have already received Christ. Now listen. And he says, "These things have I written unto you that already believe on the name of the Son of God." You've already embraced the Redeemer. You've already received the Redeemer. That's the reason I bring this in a prayer meeting service to believers. Because you do believe on the name of the Son of God. And I've written these things, listen, that you may know you have eternal life. You have eternal life. "He that believeth on the Son hath now eternal life." Now are we sons of God. We have eternal life. Not going to have it someday. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. See that? "These things I have written unto you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know you have eternal life." That you might have confidence and assurance. And my friends, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But listen, faith is strengthened by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We're born of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Spirit of God is the agent. The Word of God is the seed. We're born of God, of the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the gospel. But I tell you this, that faith is confirmed and strengthened and comforted by keeping on hearing the Word of God. The same gospel that saved you is the gospel that'll comfort. Same gospel that saved you is the gospel that will give you assurance. And I have dear friends
who are always struggling with assurance and struggling with this business of confidence and comfort in Christ, and always seem to be in distress about their interest in Christ. And one of the reasons, you know what I'm going to say, the greatest reason is they are not under a gospel ministry regularly, weekly, the Lord's Day, prayer meeting, special meetings, Bible studies, Bible classes. You can't expect to have assurance when you don't feed on the Word. You can't expect to have physical health if you don't eat. And you can't expect to have spiritual confidence and comfort and assurance if you don't feed on the Word. Now, it's your own fault. That's right. I have no sympathy for people who are not in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day under a competent, consistent, consecrated preacher of the gospel. I have no sympathy for them whatsoever. There are preachers preaching the gospel all over this country, and if a man wants to hear it, he can hear it. And these things are written that you may know that you have eternal, that you may have confidence and comfort in Christ. That's right. And the more you read this book, and the more you study this book, the more you meditate on the things of this book, the more comfort, confidence, and assurance you're going to have. And the more you neglect this word, the more trouble you're going to have in your soul. You expect it. That's just so. And listen as he goes on. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may keep on believing on the name of the Son of God. Don't quit. Keep looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. Coming to Christ. You see, faith is not an isolated experience. If repentance is not an isolated experience. A man who knows something about repentance never says, well, I have repented. He says, I am repenting. A man that knows something about faith doesn't say, well, I accepted Jesus. He says, I'm coming to Christ. I'm looking to Christ every day. Continue. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now listen to this. And remember these words, to whom coming as unto a living stone, to whom coming, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Never taking eyes off him. What happened to Peter when he took his eyes off the Master? Down he went. That you, Lord? Yes. Bid me come to thee on the water. Come on. Come on. He stepped out, and he kept his eyes on Christ. And then he got disturbed about the wind and the waves and the things about him. And down he went. The Lord saved me, or I perish. Listen to Colossians 1, verse 19. It pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. That's where it is, the fullness of God. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were one time alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. There's no period there. If you continue in the faith, if you keep coming to Christ, keep looking to Christ, grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, Don't you? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Keep on believing. All right, look back at the text now, verse 14. These things are written that you that believe that you may know. The word is our assurance. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God, keep on believing. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, I've heard messages from this verse of Scripture, and I've heard preachers use this verse as some kind of foundation by which we can get a car, or we can get a healing for our bodies, or we can get a job, or we can get whatever things we ask in His name that we desire and want, we can get these things. But let's stay with the text. Stay with the text. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You believe on the name of the Son of God. And you know through the Son of God, because of the Son of God, you have eternal life. And that you keep on believing on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence we have concerning Him. This is the confidence we have concerning Him. That if we ask anything, what are we asking? We're asking the most difficult thing, that which is impossible with men. We're asking the most difficult thing. We're asking for the greatest gift. We're asking for eternal life. We're asking what the publican asked in the temple. Lord, what right do we have to call Him Lord? Him Father? Because Christ has opened for us into His presence a new and living way, and we have this confidence in Christ. That He has opened for us a way into the holiest, that we can come boldly into the presence of God, the throne of grace, and find grace and mercy to help us in our terrible, sinful, wretched, fallen condition. Huh? We can, Abba Father, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Be merciful. Save me. Lord, blot out my transgressions, as David prayed. Wash me from my iniquities. That's not easy to do. Cleanse me from my sin. We're asking the most difficult, the greatest gift. We're asking for life. And we, verse 14, have, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask this, anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, is this His will to give life? Turn to Hebrews 10. Is this His will? Is this His will? Can I hope to have, can a sinner like you and me, can we hope that God will give us life? We can if we come in Christ's name according to His will. Listen to Hebrews 10, verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we, guilty sinners, sons of Adam, fallen creatures, are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's, we have confidence in Him who is at the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what I'm asking. Turn to John 6, talking about this according to His will. What is his will? His will of redemption, that Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, that you may know his will, that you may see the just one, that you may know his will. John 6, listen to verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And here it is. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, all which he had given me, I'll lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Brethren, this is the confidence that we have, not in us, not in our feelings, not in our profession, not in our deeds, in him. That if we ask in his name, according to his will of redemption, substitution, satisfaction, his blood, his offering, he hears us. Isn't that something? That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. And verse 15 says, and if we know he hears us, since we know that God hears us in Christ, since we know that only in Christ will God hear us, which we know that all the promises of God are in Christ, yea and amen. Since we know that all who are in Christ shall be gathered together in one at that great day, then whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire. What do you desire? Everything that I need, that God demands, that God commands, that God requires of a sinner, I have in Christ. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I have everything. Listen, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Listen to this. We're talking about great things. We're not talking about our arthritis being eased up, and that's fine, but I can do without that. We're not talking about these fleshly things. I'm talking about big things, great things, eternal things. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apostle or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours. And you're Christ. And Christ is God's. Boy, these things, these mighty, wonderful, great things are written to you that believe on him, that you may know in him, through him, by his righteousness and blood, because of him, you have eternal life. You keep looking to him because you know we have this confidence in him, in no one else, that what we've asked, we'll receive, because it's according to his will. It's according to his will. And we know he hears us. He hears us. He hears us. And we know we have the petition. This is not a shot in the dark. This is not hoping it'll come along later. I have this petition. I have all spiritual blessings in Christ right now. I have it. Listen to me. I have everything I need in Christ. I don't need anything else. He hath made us meet, sufficient to inherit the glory of Christ. God could call any one of you believers right now, and he wouldn't have to straighten up anything, add anything, or distract anything. Because in Christ, you've got everything you need. we have of Him. We have the petitions we desired of Him. We have everything we need, and let me tell you this, we have everything that's good for us. We don't have some things we want because they're not good for us, and you're not going to have them. Paul said, I cried to God 3 times that this thorn might be removed from my flesh, and the Lord said, now just be satisfied with it. I'm not taking it away. In that way, my grace will be sufficient. But everything that's good for me, I have. Everything I need, I have. And everything Almighty God has willed for me, I have in Christ. That's my confidence. Now that, and I tell you, there's a whole lot of things that I pray for God doesn't give. In fact, most of the things that I ask for never materialize. Can you agree with that? Many of them. Many of them. But I tell you, the ones that are important are mine in Christ, His will. In verse 16, listen to this. I'll help you with this. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not even say you should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is deserving of death. But there's a sin not unto death. And there's a sin not unto death because of 2 things, the grace of God and the blood of Christ, or we'd all be dead and in hell. There's a sin not unto death. All sin, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness deserves death. But because of the grace of God to us and the mercy of Christ upon us and the blood of Christ that cleanseth us, our sins are not unto death. The sins you've committed today, you're not dead because of Christ. God didn't cut you off and annihilate you because of the blood of Christ, because of the grace of God, because we deserve it. The things you've thought since you've been in this building, that's unrighteousness and that's sin. But it's not unto death. Why? Because of the grace of God and the blood of Christ. But there is a sin unto death. What is it? John Gill said this, the sin unto death, which is deserving of death and will bring death, eternal death, is denying the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is willfully sinning against the testimony of the Spirit of God who convinces the world of sin and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sin unto death. Apostasy. Denying the gospel. Has to be. It's the only sin unto death. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. But there's just one thing that's unforgivable. Unbelief. That's it. Unbelief is the sin unto death. John Calvin said this, the sin unto death is not a partial fall. David fell. Peter denied his Lord. Lot companied with the worst kind of folks. Going through the Word. Going through your own experience. And this sin unto death is not a partial fall nor a transgression of a single commandment. It's apostasy, by which a person denies that Jesus Christ is the only substitute and Savior. That's the sin unto death. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son has what? Hath not life. Death. Death. That's the sin unto death. And we pray for everyone. We pray for ourselves. We pray for one another. We ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask forgiveness for the sins of one another. But if a man denies the gospel and departs from the gospel, he can't be forgiven. Can't be. And listen, listen. He said, I don't say that you should pray for him. If a man departs from the gospel and denies Christ, let's don't contend with God's justice. Let's don't be found contending against the justice of God in condemning someone. Let's don't be found trying to be more merciful than our Heavenly Father. He said, I'll be merciful to whom I will. And the one I choose to pass by is not your business. To get in a conflict with me on this matter, is it? And that's the reason he said, I don't say that you should pray about this. It's apostasy. It's apostasy. That's got to be what he's saying there. The man see his brother sin, any sin, except this one. Any sin. Pray for him. Love him. Restore him. Forgive him. Pray for him. But when a man denies the gospel, walks under his feet the precious blood of the Son of God, I don't say you should pray for him. Now we know verse 18, listen to this. We know, stay with the text now. We know that whosoever is born of God is not going to do this. Sinneth not in this regard. We're staying with the same thing now. Oh, I know this is, I'm sure this is true. The two natures in a believer has a carnal nature, human nature, and there's no good in it. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. The spirit and the flesh war against one another, contrary to one another. There's no good in that flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. In the flesh, no man can please God. But there's a new nature, a spiritual nature, that's the life of Christ, in which there's no sin. It's pure holiness because it's Christ living in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Spirit of God. There's no sin in the Spirit of God, in the Christ of God, in the life of God, in that new nature. Someday I'm going to die, and this old nature is going back to the dust from whence it came. And in this new nature, born of God, begotten of God, I'm going to go to glory. It's that same nature the Holy Spirit put within us when he saved us. And I know whosoever is born of God sinneth not, has no sin. In Christ there is no sin. And that's true. But what he's saying here is that that person who's born of God is not going to deny Christ. He's not going to apostatize. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Whosoever is born of God doth not sin the sin unto death. He cannot deny Christ. They will not fall from the grace of God. They're kept by the grace of God. But he that's begotten of God, listen, keepeth himself in the gospel. Turn over there to the book of Jude a minute. Dale, you read this tonight, and I was watching there on one verse you read that fits right in with what I'm saying here. Verse 21 of Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What that verse say over here that I just read in 1 John 5? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit the sin unto death, but he that's begotten of God keeps himself under the gospel, true to the gospel, believing the gospel. You say, but God keeps us. He keeps us through faith. That's right. He keeps us through faith, not apart from faith. He keeps us. Let me read you a passage over here in Jeremiah 32. They're both so. We believe in preservation. We're preserved by the power and kept by the power of God. But, brethren, we believe the Bible teaches perseverance. That's the reason our Lord turned to the disciples and said, "Would you go away and go ahead?" They said, "No. To whom shall we go?" Also, Abraham, God said, those people that died in faith, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they could have gone back. You know what he said in Hebrews? They could have gone back. But their minds weren't on that country. They was on that country. They didn't want to go back. And Jeremiah 32, listen to this. Verse 38, Jeremiah 32, "They shall be my people, I'll be their God. And I'll give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, and I'll not turn away from them to do them good. I'll put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me." We're not going to leave him either. He's not going to leave you. You're not going to leave him. If you do leave him, you never were in him. That's what John said. You can't. Brethren, he said, they went out from us because they never were of us. If they were of us, they no doubt they'd still be with us. That's what he's saying here. I'm not going to leave them, and they're not going to leave me. And so that's what we're reading over here. There's a sin unto death. It's apostasy. It's heresy. It's unbelief. It's denying the gospel. It's rejecting, turning from Christ. But whosoever is born of God is not going to do that. But he that's begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one, who is that? Satan. That's Satan. Can't touch him. Cannot touch him. Cannot touch him. All right, I'm going to close and give you two or three things found in verse 19, 20, and 21. In order to be prepared for this warfare, and brethren, we're in a war. And our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, that wicked woman. And in order to be prepared for this warfare, this journey, and it's not going to get any easier. Young people, listen to me. The trials and the burdens and the weight and the troubles and the tears are not going to get any lighter. They're going to get heavier. And you need some help. I need some help. So here it is. To be prepared for those, for this warfare, to be prepared for those attractions that draw people away from Christ, away from God, to be prepared for the trials and difficulties and heartaches ahead, to continue in the faith, we need to know three things. Verse 19, the first one, and we know we're of God. We know that we are of God. We know that we have the gospel. The gospel, the one gospel, the true gospel. We know we're of God. We know we're loved of God, we're chosen of God, we're redeemed by God, we're called by God, we're sons of God. We're washed in the blood. We love him because he loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the first thing we need to know. Embrace that. Build upon that. Stand upon that. We are of God in Christ. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. We are of God. We are of God. welcome, but we are of God. Join us, but we are of God. Moses said to his father-in-law, come with us. We'll do you good because we are of God. We've got his word. We've got his message. We've got his gospel. We've got his grace. We have his son. We are of God. The old man said, no, I'm going the other way. Well, I can't say God bless you because God's not that way. He's this way. We are of God. You got to know that. Man can't tell what he doesn't know. Can't trust one whom you do not know. That's right. Secondly, and this whole world lies in wickedness. You got to know that. The whole world about us is under the power of Satan. The whole world, religious, social, political, the whole world about us is under the dominion of Satan. He's called the God of this world. So we don't hesitate to separate ourselves from it. I'm crucified to the world and the world to me. Because that world lieth in the wicked one. I do not covet their honor. I do not covet their praise. It's Satan's world. It's not God's world. I do not fear their enmity. I do not fear their censor. I do not seek their friendship. He that would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I am of God. You are of God. And that world out there, religious and otherwise, lies in the wicked one. And I don't any more covet their friendship than I'd move to Baghdad tonight and shack up with Saddam Hussein. Now, that's just plain as I can make it. They don't mean any more to me out there in that world than he does. And I would no more join with them than I'd join with him. We know two things. I know we're of God, and I know they're not. They belong to the wicked one. They're his servants. We've been translated from this dark kingdom to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now here's the third thing. And here's the real foundation. And we know that the Son of God is come. My, he is come. The Old Testament says he's coming. John the Baptist said, behold, there he is. The epistle says he's coming back, but we know he is come, and he hath given us an understanding. He hath given us an understanding, not a head full of doctrine, theory, creeds, catechism. He has given us understanding that we may know him. That is true. And we're in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this, my friends, is the true God. And this is everlasting life. And if you know those three things, verse 21, you'll keep yourselves from idols, from false gods, from false religions, from traditions, images, superstitions, religious practices introduced by people who depart from the Word of God. We know we are of God. Not because of what we've done, but because of His grace. It pleased God to make you His people. You see your calling, brethren, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise, but God has chosen us. We are of God. That world out there lies in the wicked one. And we know this. This is our foundation. The Son of God is come. And he hath given us freely by his grace the gift of life, understanding, that we may know God. We're in him. in the Son and in the Father. This is the true God. This is eternal life. This is life. And this is not something we're going to have out, John. This is a life into which we have entered by faith. And the death to the old world has already taken place. I'm His and He's mine. Jesus Christ is not a God that you accept and put on the shelf and come by and wave at Him every year or so and deal Him a little tip once in a while like you would a waitress or a waiter. You're a bond slave. You're sold out. You're His. He moves me to Timbuktu. That's where I'm moving. I'm His. I belong to Him. It's over. Been over for a long time. It's been settled. Don't sit around and debate about those things. Belong to Christ. This is eternal life, and nothing else is eternal life. This is it.